Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be guest of the sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen.
If there's a heaven, how can I be sure that I will be there? If there's a heaven, how can I be sure that I'll be there? The other weekend, I was in Manchester with my family, and we were walking around, and suddenly this huge skyscraper appears. There we go. The Hilton Manchester is a ridiculous building. Skyscrapers, to my knowledge, appear because there's not enough space around. But it's just a complete monster of a building out of nowhere. But imagine for a moment you are the person in charge of bookings at the Hilton Manchester. 47 floors. And people come in and you've got to decide where they go. The best rooms are at the top with the amazing view, the penthouse suite. And the worst rooms, well, they're underground in the basement. And your job is to decide where people go. The only rule is that you must put the best people in the best rooms. So Mother Teresa walks in and she obviously gets the penthouse suite. Adolf Hitler walks in and, well, he goes down into the basement. The UNICEF ambassadors and the doctors, well, they're not quite Mother Teresa, but they kind of go up towards the top, and the liars and the pickpockets, well, they're further on down. Someone said this in a book I was reading this week. Intuitively, we believe that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. But what about us? You know, you come into the room, into the hotel, where should you go? I asked this to a group of school children this week, and they're great because they give us our honest answers. Where did they say we go? Well, they put us right bang in the middle, just about there. Now, imagine there was a line, a cut-off point, and you had to go, these people, well, they'll get into heaven, obviously, and these people, well, will know they're not good enough. Where would the line be? The line that the kids gave me on Monday, it was just below me. It's a very British answer, isn't it? We're very humble and, you know, oh, I'm not that good, but I know I'm not perfect, but I'll just scrape in. My dad used to talk about doing the bare minimum. And that's what we think we do. Just get into heaven. But as we've been reading Jesus in these last few weeks, we can't take that. We're wrong. Jesus talks to a rich man in chapter 18. And he gives a very vivid illustration. He says, imagine a camel. Mr. Camel. If you come to Friday Club, you'll meet Mr. Camel. Imagine a needle. It is easier for Mr. Camel to get through the eye of this needle than it is for Mother Teresa to get into heaven. The cut-off line, it's not in the middle. It's above that weird thing that's sticking out the top of the Hilton Manchester. We cannot get into heaven. if there is a heaven, how can I make sure that I'm there? It's impossible. Impossible. Well, Jesus doesn't just say it's impossible. He says this. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And the answer comes at the end of our passage today. Look down with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Oh, what a weird title. It's the title Jesus uses most often of himself. And he's referring back to a passage in the Old Testament, which is going to appear on the screen. And it's from the book of Daniel. And Daniel has a vision. And he says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, that's God himself, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The Son of Man, well, he's the King of Heaven. He's the one who has a kingdom that will last forever. This Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Ever since Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem in chapter 9, verse 51, everything has been about God's kingdom. What is it like? Jesus tells a whole series of parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. When will it come? What are the signs of the coming of the kingdom? But most importantly, how are we to enter it? How are we to be subjects of the King of Heaven? How are we to enter the kingdom of the Son of Man? Well, the answer is that just like a shepherd looks for his lost sheep, and just like a woman looks for her lost coins, well, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There is a heaven. How can I be sure that I'll be there? The answer is the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. And in this encounter between Zacchaeus and Jesus, we have a model of how the Son of Man came, seeking and saving the lost. So let's dive in. Zacchaeus, he was a lost man. He was sat there at his tax collecting booth, kind of playing with his money, counting it probably again and again and again, seeing how rich he was. And then the murmurs started to go round and the rumours got louder and louder. And suddenly on his Twitter account, he notices that hashtag Jesus is in town was going viral. Jesus is coming through Jericho. News reports of how he, on the road into Jericho, he had healed a blind man, and people were pouring onto the streets, and suddenly Zacchaeus was in the middle of a crowd, but he was lost. Amongst the crowd, and yet lost. Why? Well, have a look and with me to page 1052, and look what the Pharisee said in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Thank you, God, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Tax collectors are alongside the worst people of society. But notice, Zacchaeus isn't just any old tax collector. Verse 2, he was a chief tax collector. I don't know if any of you are watching SSGB. It's a new BBC and TV programme. I'm hooked already, just two episodes in. It's a kind of what-if history of what if Germany won the Battle of Britain? What if the Nazis ruled Britain in 1945? And it tells the story of Superintendent Douglas Archer of the Scotland Yard, who basically is forced to collaborate with the Germans. And it's amazing to see the hatred that is given towards him, the glances on the street, even his friends giving him the cold shoulder. and the plots on his life by the British resistance. This little TV series gives us a little glimpse of how people would have treated Zacchaeus. He was a collaborator with the occupying Roman people, collecting their taxes. He was no son of Israel, no son of Abraham. He's not one of ours. If you want to see a lost man, have a look at Zacchaeus. And if we look a bit closer, we'll see he exhibits all the signs, all the symptoms of a lost person Jesus has been talking about. Have a look with me to verse 2. Actually, let's go to verse 3. Zacchaeus was a short man. He was short, just like the children who the disciples rejected back in chapter 18. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, just like the rich man who comes and asks Jesus how to get into heaven. And look again to verse 3. What does it say? He could not see Jesus, just like the blind man who Jesus has just given sight to. Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus was no son of Abraham. There's a greater similarity between him and the rich ruler. The greatest picture of similarity between the two. Both lost, both wealthy, both very powerful in different ways. But also great difference. You see, one was heralded as a saint by people. The other one heralded as a sinner. One we would have put in the penthouse. The other we would have put in the basement. One knew he was lost. The other one thought he was just all right. I'm fine, thank you very much. Imagine you're walking in the wilderness and a helicopter comes over the top and dangles a rope in front of you. Will you grab onto the rope? You'll grab onto the rope if you're lost. If you think you're lost, you'll grab onto the rope. If you don't think you're lost, you'll think, what on earth is going on? You see, unless we know and see that we're lost, we will never be found by the Lord Jesus. The question is, do we think that we are lost? Have we understood that the bar, the entry to heaven is so high, there is absolutely nothing that I can do? I could be Mother Teresa, and I will not get into heaven by myself. There's nothing I can do. We've fallen short of the entry standard to heaven. Zacchaeus, a lost man. And Jesus, well, he seeks a lost man. Now, Zacchaeus could deal with his height issue. He was lost in the crowd. He couldn't see Jesus. And so he pegs it to the nearest tree. It happens to be a sycamore fig tree. And he climbs it. And he glances a glimpse of Jesus. That's what he wanted, to see Jesus. And I wonder whether we feel as though we want to see Jesus today. Maybe you're here because that's what you do on a Sunday. Brought up all your life going to church. That's what we do. But maybe this Jesus person is still someone we haven't really got to grips with, and we're still kind of on the outside looking in. Maybe we feel we have to be here on a Sunday. But who is Jesus? Well, maybe our spouse follows Jesus. And we've seen something different in them, something intriguing, something we want for ourselves. And we know it's to do with Jesus, but we don't quite know what. So we kind of run ahead and we jump up the tree and we're looking, trying to glimpse Jesus. Or maybe we came to the quizzical last night and we loved the quiz and it was good fun. But there was just something different, something in the songs maybe. And we want to glimpse Jesus. Now that day, Zacchaeus was up the tree. He just wanted to see Jesus, but he got more than he bargained for. Look with me down to verse 5. When Jesus reached that spot, he didn't pass on by. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." the Son of Man, the King of Heaven, stopped in front of Zacchaeus' tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. Imagine you're in Wokingham this afternoon and you're walking along and you've been to Waitrose and you've got your chicken and some bodyguards come past and then a nice car and it happens to be Her Majesty the Queen. And she says, oh, Matt, I must come and have roast lunch with you today. I wonder how you feel. It's pretty, well, I guess pretty terrifying thing. I wouldn't want to take the Queen into my flat at the moment. What an amazing opportunity. And this is what happens to Zacchaeus, the King of Heaven, not just the Queen of England. The King of Heaven says, today, I must stay at your house. Now, this isn't just an offer that Jesus made to one person at one time. It's an offer he has for all of us today. Later on in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says this. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What a wonderful, wonderful offer. It's been wonderfully pictured by Holman Hunt. That's a really bad picture of it. But go to Keble College in Oxford, go to the chapel there, and you can see this wonderful painting of Jesus there standing at the door knocking. And he's saying, open the door and I will come in. Anybody, anyone. If anyone opens the door, Jesus promises that he will come and eat with them. Now this is radical inclusion. This is radical inclusion. No one. Liars, crude jokers, pickpockets, ISIS fighters, and even Adolf Hitler. Even Adolf Hitler, when he was alive, Jesus knocking at the door of his heart. And if he opened the door, then Jesus would come in. Now, I don't know about you, but part of me goes, no, Jesus, no. The rescue rope is dangling. The knock is at the door. Jesus is at the bottom of the tree. The question is, will we grab the rope? Will we open the door? Will we come down the tree? Look with me at what Zacchaeus does. Verse 6. He gladly comes down and welcomes Jesus. Notice the difference between him and the rich ruler who goes away sad. Jesus says, come follow me, and he goes away sad. Zacchaeus comes down the tree and welcomes him gladly. What about you? Have we welcomed Jesus into our hearts? Have we made that personal decision to start following Jesus? Have we said, Jesus, I can't get to heaven by myself. I need you to do it for me. Jesus is seeking. He's knocking. Will we answer? Jesus seeks a lost man, but Jesus saves a lost man too. Look with me to verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. The impossible has been made possible. The camel has gone through the eye of the needle. The rich man has entered the kingdom of God. How do we know? How do we know? Well, if you enter the kingdom of God, if you enter a kingdom, you live by the rules of the king. You live by the rules of the king. Now, what does God say about to do if you've stolen money? What should you do? Well, fortunately, he tells us back in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. Whoever steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it must pay back five head of cattle for the ox and four sheep for the sheep. There's a principle laid down. If you've stolen, you must pay back 4 or 5 times the amount. And what does Zacchaeus do? If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. He's living with Jesus as his king. Radical inclusion has led to radical change in his life. And that is what happens when we enter the kingdom of God. That is salvation, a changed life. It happened in Zacchaeus' day, and it happens today too. Let me tell you about a guy called Christopher Huang. He was a drug dealer. He was promiscuous homosexual in America. And he ended up in prison. And whilst he's in prison, he picked up his Gideon's Bible, I think, and came to know Jesus himself. He came down the tree, he opened the door to Jesus, and, well, his life was turned around. Now, notice what happens when someone is saved in verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, there may be people who will say to you, "Jesus won't be friends with you. Jesus can't be friends with you. You're not good enough for Jesus." And sadly, those lines come from Christians, people who say they're followers of Jesus, from the religious people of the time. And it happens again today. Listen to what Christopher Huang says. He says this: "For so long, I'd gotten the message from the Christian protesters at gay pride parades that the God of the Bible hated people like me because we were abominations. But after reading Leviticus 18:32, I saw that God didn't hate me, nor was he condemning me to an inescapable destiny of torment, but rather it was the sex that he condemned. And yet he still wanted an intimate relationship with me." So much of the time, and people hear a message from the church that says, "No, you're not welcome. Jesus doesn't want you." But that's not true. Jesus does want everybody. Radical inclusion, but with radical change. Jesus wanted Zacchaeus, but he didn't want him to keep stealing. He wanted to change him. Every lost person is welcomed. But every lost person is changed. It happened to Christopher Huang. His addiction to drugs, the Lord miraculously took that away. No longer did he want to get high. But his identity as a gay man was a deeper issue, a really deeper issue. Let me read what he says. "As I continue to read the Bible, I realize that my identity shouldn't be defined by my sexuality. Christ should be everything, my all in all. My sexual orientation didn't have to be the core of who I was. My primary identity didn't have to be defined by my feelings or sexual attraction. My identity was not gay or homosexual, not even heterosexual for that matter. But my identity as a child of the living God must be in Jesus Christ alone. And God says, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' I'd always thought that the opposite of homosexuality was heterosexuality. But actually, the opposite of homosexuality is holiness. God never said, 'Be heterosexual, for I am heterosexual.' He said, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" A lost man entering into the kingdom of God will live a radically changed life. Now, a real mistake that we could make is go, "Yeah, of course Christopher Huang needs to change his life. Of course Zacchaeus needs to change his life, but not me. You know, I'm an upright middle-class person. I fit the stereotypes of what everyone in society around thinks I'm fine. Everyone would put me in the penthouse." But we're lost. The person who is a control freak, They need to realize they're not the king of their lives, that Jesus is the king. He's the king of the universe, and need to bow the knee to him and surrender their lives to him. He is in control. The liar needs to tell the truth. The self-righteous person, they need to take the crown off their own head and lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus, because he is king alone. The question is, where is change in our lives? Where does there need to be change in our lives? The psalmist says, search me and know me. Show me any wicked way in me. What is the thing that I love more than Jesus? Zacchaeus, it was money. What is the thing in my heart that I love more than Jesus? What is it? What is the area that I'm not letting Jesus enter into my life? Where does change need to be? Radical inclusion leads to radical change. Maybe we need to help each other, because we all have blind spots in our lives. And blind spots are really difficult to spot because we're blind to them. But fortunately, God has given us each other. You know, and as I chat to Ian can say, Matt, I really think that, aren't you being a bit proud in this area? I think you need to repent of that. I can say to Ian. Now, I'll go to Ian as one brother to another and say, look, maybe you need to look at this area of your life. And if he doesn't repent, Jesus says we'll go back with two or three. It's clearly laid out in the Bible how we should do this. But in our life groups, are we seeking for change? You may be thinking, as if you're following the logic, Jesus says you can't be good enough. And you're kind of saying change should be good enough. How can we do it? Well, in between the rich man and Zacchaeus comes Jesus saying, I'm going to have to die. Jesus goes to the cross to make it possible. Jesus dies and rises again to new life. And he gives his spirit to us. He sends his spirit into our lives to help us, to move us, to follow God's law. He can change us. He will change us. He promised to change us. Are we willing to be changed? As we close, let's look at verse 9. Jesus says this, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. What a promise. Today. We hear the knocking of Jesus and we open our hearts to him. Look at that promise. Today, right here, right now, today is the day of salvation. What a wonderful promise. The question is, will this be our story? Will this be our story? If there is a heaven, how can I be sure to be there? The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Father, thank you very, very, very much that although we can't do it ourselves, though it's impossible for us to enter your kingdom, our hearts are too hard, too stubborn, too proud, that you have made a way, that you have done the impossible. You have made it possible that through the Lord Jesus, we can be saved. And thank you so much too for the gift of your Spirit and his work in changing us. Please would we be a church marked by change. Help us help each other. Help us point each other to you as the means of change. Please would we be radically changed for your glory. Amen.